Show of hands. How many people here enjoy driving? No, yeah. I generally enjoy driving. In fact, I drove down to Virginia and back. I'd like it to be a shorter trip. Next question. How many people really enjoy driving in Boston? Teddy? Really, huh? A man that's up for a challenge. Now, I pride myself on being able to drive in any kind of traffic, but I got to tell you, I don't enjoy driving in crowded cities, especially Boston. Most cities, like New York, for example, they're on a grid. You know, you get cities that run this way and cities that run that way. It's very easy to know where you are and where to go. Boston, not so much. You know why? It's not based on a grid. The streets of Boston are paved over cow paths. Quite literally, they are. And that's why you've got so many meandering one-way streets that lead to nowhere. I remember distinctly one time I was trying to get someplace, I think it was the Museum of Science or the New England Aquarium. And it was like being on a roller coaster ride. And I was at a red light, and I was probably like 50 yards away from the museum. Yeah, and I'm like, Lord, it's right there. Why can't I get there? Not in Boston. People like flying? How many people like flying? Yeah, not as many people. Some people do. Flying's not such a pain in the neck when you have a flight in the middle of the night and you can go and you can get your boarding pass and there's no crowds. But boy, have you ever tried to check your bags at really the height of the busiest times in an airport? Again, you walk in and you've got these roped off areas and you're going like this and you're going like that, and I feel like a mouse in a maze in a laboratory trying to get to the piece of cheese. And again, you're right there. There's the baggage check person, but I gotta go another half a mile before I can get there. What's the point of all this? Well, think about these things when we hear the message of John the Baptist. Make a straight path for the Lord. John is telling us that the Lord is coming. And we can't set up a city like Boston for him to try to get to our hearts, minds, and souls. We can't set up an airport terminal like I just described. If you want Jesus when he comes at Christmas, as he does every year, to take his seat on the throne that is our hearts, to have to go through all that circuitous nonsense and take the long way around. But you know, sometimes we like it like that. Why? Well, because those obstacles, that circuitous route, we've constructed through our sinfulness. We like to throw up obstacles because we may be more comfortable in our sins than we are with inviting the Lord to take the seat on the throne and make us better human beings and better disciples. And so when we hear, make a straight path, we are called to do that every Advent. Advent does have a Lenten quality to it, one of deepening our prayer, reflecting more, taking the time to get closer to the Lord and ask him to forgive our sins. We can get closer to him if we make the time, as hard as it is in the month of December, to do things like take advantage of the adult faith formation opportunities that I've been advertising in the bulletin. Opportunities for group prayer and for learning more about our faith and sharing it. We need to take time to take advantage of the prayer aids that we put in last week's bulletin, for example, the calendar of doing something every day, so that we can tear down those obstacles, make straight those paths, lower those hills, fill in those valleys, so the Lord will have a straight path so that He can more deeply touch us and make us more like Him at Christmas. I said we're preparing for the comings of our Lord. And I use plural very intentionally because we celebrate the anniversary of His first coming as our Savior and a babe in a manger, and we celebrate that. And Advent has an anticipatory preparation for His second coming when He establishes His perfect kingdom, which He will. That's what the first reading is all about from Isaiah. A world of perfect harmony where a baby can pet the fur on an adder without worrying about his hand being bitten off. A beautiful, beautiful reading to meditate on. Perfect harmony and perfection, that which we've lost, but will be restored. And then there's that in-between coming between the first and the last. Every Christmas we have the opportunity to prepare for it, to be better people. I know the years go round and round. It's like Groundhog Day. And we say, oh, Advent's here again. Yep, it's another iteration of this. I know what's going to happen. What's the use of confessing my sins? I never change. It's another way we prepare to make the straight path. Confession, reconciliation. I know if it's been a long time since we've done that, we can be afraid and say, oh my goodness, I haven't done that since confirmation. What am I going to say to the priest? Well, I'm going to put something in the bulletin to help you with that next weekend. Don't be afraid. Let that path be made straight. And if you've gone more frequently but you get discouraged, you just say, I confess the same things every time, Father. Well, most people do. I do. I know that. It's a constant battle. But we invite Jesus in to the battle through confession. And don't focus on the fact that we do the same things. Focus on the fact that we do them less frequently. And that we are making progress. And Lord knows where we'd be if we didn't go to confession. Take advantage of these opportunities, my brothers and sisters. And so at Christmas, we haven't missed the chance to say, look, Lord, a clear path. Step right in, sit right down, make me the best version of myself. We can get discouraged when we hear about a perfect world, too, because we say, our world is a mess. What can we do about it? Well, we can't do much about the whole world, but we can do something about us. Like the hymn says, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me and you right now, this Advent and Christmas.